All right, welcome to the Free Stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. Bobby Fenton with you, Week 15 edition. Only four regular season weeks left in the NFL regular season. I swear every year football season goes by faster and faster, man. And hey, in this case, this year, maybe some of you are okay with that as it continues to not go real well for our local club. 6-7 now after that throbbing or drubbing or whatever you want to call it in San Francisco or 40 miles outside of it over the weekend. And we're going to talk about that game a little bit today, although honestly, there isn't a ton we have to get to with that. What can you say? We got a big game this week because they're all big games now. And it's the Cincinnati Bengals. It's the first meeting between Joe Burrow and Tom Brady and everything that comes with that. And, you know, the Bucs are playing for a division title. If you close your eyes real tight and you envision this red-hot division race, you can replace the 6-7 record, both for the Bucs and for their competitors, and you can replace it with, you know, 8-5, 9-4, something like that. And it's the same thing, right? Like, the games matter the same as if the, let's say everybody in the South was two games better or three games better. And the Bucs, like I said, maybe they're 8-5, and maybe the Panthers and the Falcons, maybe they're 7-6. And that doesn't seem so bad. So the drama part of it is right there. Of course, we know better, having actually watched the games this season so far. But we'll look at it real quick. I mean, listen, we've been talking about process versus results for a long time on this show. And the Bucs have had bad process pretty much throughout, okay? But they've been getting the results here and there. That's what happened against the Saints, where bad process somehow still led to a good outcome. Narrowly, same thing in the Rams game a few weeks back before that. So basically, the results chickens came home to roost on Sunday. That was a good San Francisco team that has its act together, and we knew they were starting a quarterback who was making his first NFL start. We've been at this, all of us, you and me, watching Bucs games long enough to know that guarantees nothing, or maybe you think it does guarantee a bad Bucs effort because it always seems like it goes that way when they're facing these supposed schlub quarterbacks. But Brock Purdy was anything but, and he was fantastic. Hats off to him, by all means. And the Bucs defense was terrible. You know, we've been complaining about the offense a bunch, and the offense was also terrible. In this case, they put together, you know, they finally came together and got the consistent effort from both sides of the ball. Usually you get the defense doing its part, but the offense can't get it done. And this week, everybody was in unison in not getting the job done. And the Bucs get creamed. And even 35-7 made the score seem a little bit better than that game was. That was an out-and-out ass-kicking. And like I said, you could kind of see it coming a little bit, given the way the Bucs have been performing, given the way the process has been going. And a lot of people said, I heard this a bunch from some of the fans who have been around a little bit longer, but they were comparing it to that 1999 game in Oakland the Bucs played when they were on their way to a 12-4, or actually it was 11-5 in 99, 11-5. Regular season record and the number two seed in the NFC. They would go on to lose the NFC Championship game to the Rams in St. Louis, of course. We all remember that. But they had that one game in December when they went to Oakland, and they just got destroyed. It was 45-0. I remember very distinctly watching that game. And yeah, this was nothing like that. First of all, the situations are not the same. That Bucs team was really, really good defensively. And that team, like I said, second seed in the NFC. Like, that was a team that had hope, and that game came out of nowhere where it was like, wow, what is with these guys? Like, seeing Warren Sapp and Derrick Brooks and John Lynch and Rondy and that Bucs defense get pushed around and just, you know, the Bucs, we were used to seeing the Bucs offense never score that season, much like now. But that defense that year and that team that year was a team that you felt could go out there and win any game ever because of the defense. And certainly even when they didn't win, it was going to be because the offense couldn't score. And they got hammered that one game. And it was one of those throw out the tape, burn it, whatever, don't worry about it, and move on to the next one. And it was fine. And that is what happened. The Bucs, like I said, they kept on winning after that, went to the NFC Championship before the heartbreaking loss there. But this was not like that. This was a team that we've been kind of waiting for something like this to happen because the offense performed the way it always does. But now the defense finally gave way a little bit. And I'm not going to belabor it. I mean, The defense, for its part, has done plenty all season long, and we're going to need them if they're going to do what we hope the Bucks can do. Although there was even a little bit of division on where we all come down on that on Twitter this week. I was, you know, scrolling through, and I think it was John Ledyard. He tweeted about, you know, in all truthfulness, if the Bucks do come up short in this division race, it's not the worst thing in the world. It's probably better for the franchise long term, he said, to get a top 10 draft pick. And, you know, what's the point of winning the division and going out and getting slaughtered, all that? You know, the age-old argument with this format where you have a bad team and, hey, what are we really doing here? Is it worth it? Should we just, like, sit back and get ready for the reload or the rebuild or whatever you want to call it? And a lot of people took umbrage. How could you say that? The Bucks, you know, they've had, what is it, like six or something? I have to look it up. But home playoff games in their entire franchise history. And we're sitting here getting picky and talking about, is it worth even having another one? You never know what might happen. They already beat the Cowboys once, on and on and on and on and on. It's a whole thing. I have said already on this show, all right, I'm not going to get too high or too low anymore about the 2022 Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This happened, I think I said this, when did I say it? I think it was the Cleveland game where I finally said, you know what? I don't think I care that much about this season anymore. I can't. It's clear that this is a team that does not have it. It's clear that changes have to be made, all that stuff. So obviously you say those things. Everybody says stuff, but then every passing week, new things happen. What you said gets further in the rearview mirror. You have more information to work with. But I'm really trying to stick to that because this is a broken franchise right now. And the changes that have to be made are going to have to be made regardless of what ends up happening. I mean, this is the ultimate process versus results thing. They might hang on and win the division. They might go play Dallas in that first round playoff game at Raymond James Stadium. If they do, it's a home playoff game against a marquee opponent. It'll be a huge ticket, all that stuff. And they might even win that game and be in the divisional round, same exact place they were last year, right? Technically. But we all know that, no, not the same place they were last year. I couldn't see them getting beyond. And they would be on the road for the divisional round this time, not at home, like they were against the Rams. But none of that's the point. The point is, I'm not going to say I'm rooting against them. Like, that was where all the big argument came from on Twitter. Like, how could you not want to see them? Hey, if you gave me, like, a button here, two buttons on the table right in front of me. Push this button, they win the NFC South, they hang on with a record of 9-8 or 8-9 or whatever it ends up being. On the other side, you push this button, all right, they end up blowing this, they lose, they end up picking, you know, 9th or 10th instead of, I mean, if you win the division and make the playoffs, even if your record slots in at like the 13th pick or something, you get grouped in with the playoff teams. So there are 14 playoff teams. That means you have to be picking at least, you know, 19th or lower. And I don't even know how much of a difference 10 picks makes, 5 picks. I mean, who knows, you know? Obviously, you want the highest pick you can, sure. But if this is indeed the last hurrah for a little while, I mean, yeah, I want to cash in the full, whatever my chips are worth, let's cash them in, even if they ain't worth much. And you know my ass will be at that home playoff game. I've been to every one they've ever played, including in utero when my mom was pregnant with me in the fall of 1979, the winter 1980. So I've been in the stadium. I've been in the house one way or the other for every home playoff game the Bucks have played. That ain't going to change. So sure, I mean, let's try it, you know? Plus, I need something. I mean, we all need something to get us going for these last four games. And the way it works out, if you're looking at scenarios and stuff, we already knew, we've talked about how the Bucks can lose these next couple of games still to go to 6-9, and none of it matters. If they beat Carolina and if they beat Atlanta in week 17 and week 18, they win the NFC South. Literally no other scenarios that you can come up with change that. Those two games, and really it's the Carolina game, because if Atlanta loses, as long as the Bucks win any game of the four plus Carolina. So that's to win any of the other three plus Carolina. It doesn't have to be Atlanta. As long as Atlanta loses at least one more game, which they will. The Carolina game on New Year's Day, if the Bucks beat Carolina in that game, On that alone, they go to a 95% chance to win the NFC South, according to the New York Times playoff calculator thingy. If they lose that Carolina game, it's 40% with a loss. The reason the Carolina game is so pivotal is because they have the win over the Bucs in the first meeting, so they would have the direct head-to-head tiebreaker with another win. If the Bucs beat Carolina, they've split. Now it goes to division record. Bucs are actually sitting pretty on tiebreakers, like we've talked about on the show. So, like, if they win that Carolina game, that's almost like the first playoff game, like New Year's Day. Until then, hell, if they could have beaten San Francisco, then you might be talking about, oh, they could go to the 3 seed or whatever. That's out the window now. They're either a 4 seed playing Dallas at home in the wild card round, or they're out of the playoffs. That's basically what we got in front of us right now. But if you're looking for bright sides from the San Francisco game, that's about where they end, is the fact that it didn't actually hurt the Bucs that bad because there was nothing bright. Oh, let me give some credit to Devin Tompkins. Didn't mention him. 54-yard kickoff return, but even besides that one, he was consistently good all day. And I put out on Twitter, if you follow me on Twitter, at Bobby Game Day, BobbyGameDay. But I was just in that place Sunday where I was angry at everything. So instead of even being happy about Tompkins, I was like, well, why the hell did it take till week 14 till we figure out that he's a better option than Darden? Because I just wanted to dump on balls no matter what, you know. But he was good. That was it. Tom Brady was not good. Okay, it wasn't simply a matter of blaming everybody else. He missed a lot of throws, and you know, he is still good enough to where with this team around him, they should be able to do a lot more. He's fallen off a bit, yes, and yet it's not to the point where they have to like coach around him. It's not to the point where they have to scheme around him. It's not to the point where they need to run these stupid ass quick screens. I'm so over the quick screens, like. Those are literally just more running plays. They get put in the stat sheet as passing plays, but those are just running plays. And just the lack of creativity, the lack of an ability of this offense to work that intermediate part of the field, which we harped on last week's show and have been for some time, and the Bucs just continue to not be able to do it. It's deep shots, it's the quick screens over and over and over, and I don't understand why. I mean, the protection, like, it's not that bad, even against the 49ers. Yeah, they have Bosa over there. I didn't see, you know, the Bucs can protect enough to give a guy 2.5 seconds to run a route and to give Brady a clean enough pocket to make a throw. But they didn't do it. Mike Evans is going, you know, a quarter and a half, halftime before he sees his first target. And excuse my voice, by the way. I've had a cough the past few days, but we're going to gut it out. But yeah, they're just not using, they do have weapons. They are missing the weapons they don't have anymore, but they have enough to do better than this. Of course, they did hit the long one on the busted coverage, Mike Evans wide open. And of course, that did get called back because of a Donovan Smith holding penalty. I don't want to rip Donovan Smith to shreds. Obviously, there's something going on. He alluded to it during his media session last week. It doesn't matter. Nobody cares about excuses. It's the NFL. You either can competently play your position or you can't. And he'd be the first to tell you that. But 6 holding calls this year. He's got a real knack for the touchdowns, though, because 3 of those have nullified touchdowns. And it's funny because there's like 20 other linemen in the league who have at least 3 holding calls on them. And if you add up all their holding calls, it's like 123 total. And those 123 have combined to nullify 3 touchdowns. And yet Donovan Smith in his 6, which leads the NFL, has nullified 3 touchdowns all on his own. And I'm not anywhere going to go near trying to say, oh, well, it's a different game if Mike Evans' touchdown counts, if that play doesn't get called back. No, it probably ends pretty much the way it did anyway. As far as people want to do, you know, everybody's clamoring, oh, my God, they got to replace him. Todd Bowles just refuses to do anything to help the team. And hey, listen, you know me. I'm as hard on Bowles as anybody. He is not failing to help the team. They don't have any other, there's nothing they can do, okay? Like, they already were using Wells as the other swing tackle with Wirfs out, and they don't have, like, these just guys sitting there on the sideline. Oh, yeah, here, competent left tackle, jump right in, buddy. You know, Donovan Smith's still their best option. That was the quote from Todd Bowles earlier today. I'm recording this on Thursday. Quote, we've considered everything, and right now Donovan is our best option. I actually don't doubt that. I'm not questioning Bowles in that department. It's just unfortunate because he's not a good option right now. And so, like I said, You can either play the position or you can't. He's had a pretty tough go of it, and it's hurting the team, but far from the only thing hurting the team right now. And like I said, it was offense and defense on Sunday. But enough about the 49ers game. It doesn't matter anymore. We got the Bengals coming in here on Sunday. So first of all, always cool for, you know, these AFC matchups. These are teams that come in once every 8 years. When you have a team like the Bengals with Burrow, like I said, first meeting between Burrow and Tom Brady. Brady, by the way, a back-to-back home underdog, or excuse me, not even home. He's just a back-to-back underdog at all for the first time since 2014. He is a home underdog in general just this one time, the first time since that Kansas City game, Week 12, back in 2020 when the Bucs lost to the Chiefs. And then did not lose again on the way to winning Super Bowl 55, also against the Chiefs later that season. But this is the first time Brady's been a home dog since then. If you're looking for some sort of positive spin, Brady in his career, if you still believe this is Tom Brady, like that we're used to, he's 9-3 straight up, 11-1 against the spread as a home underdog. And that's the best, both of those records are the best of anybody, any quarterback since 1970. So, okay, there's something there. On the season, Cincinnati's 10-3 against the spread, and they're actually 18-3 in their last 21 games as a franchise against the spread. The Bucs are 3-9-1 against the spread. That spread is 3.5, by the way. The Bengals are favored, although I have a feeling that could get to 4. But anyway, as of now, everyone and their mother is hammering the Bengals. 87.2% of the money at Caesars Sportsbook is on Cincinnati, and over 80% of the actual bets are as well. So if that trend continues, that number definitely is going to get to 4, if not 4.5 by game time. And I don't care, you know, we don't care who covers the spread, we want the Bucs to win. I think they can, I'll say this much. I know the injury situation looks bad. Right now, what we're looking at, Tristan Wirfs is out. Vita Vea is out. Although Wirfs at practice today was out there not in pads, he's in shorts and a t-shirt, like working with a trainer on the side. So he's making progress. And I think Christmas night in Arizona could maybe be in play, but it doesn't look like Wirfs will play against the Bengals. Vita Vea is not playing against the Bengals. Jamel Dean's been in a walking boot. His status isn't for sure, but that doesn't look great on him. Carl Nassib was out at practice, not suited up with the pectoral thing. We'll see. Better news, Sean Murphy Bunting, Antoine Winfield were both out there today. They look like they're pretty good to go. We'll see on Mike Edwards. But the Bucs have some guys on defense, all defense, that are either up in the air or flat out out, besides Wirfs, of course, being on offense. So injuries don't look great there. Bengals have a few injuries as well that they're dealing with. And Joe Burrow, who did practice, is listed on the injury report with an elbow thing, whatever that means. It probably doesn't mean anything. I think he'll be fine, but it's something to at least pay attention to. Now looking at the Bengals themselves, here's what gives me a little bit of hope. The Bengals' defense weeks 1 through 8 was really, really good. They were among the top defenses in EPA per play. Since week 9, they've just been okay. And they've actually fallen off. Actually, they've been below average. Overall, they're just okay now because after being near the top weeks 1 through 8, they've been below average, and that's dropped their overall average down. So, you know, the Bucs have faced some pretty tough defenses lately, right? I mean, the San Francisco defense is tough, man. And even the Saints. The Saints' defense is not bad at all. And Dennis Allen's always done a good job scheming against Tom Brady. So, I mean, it's been a tough couple of weeks defensively. I think maybe the Bucs, if nothing else, you could say maybe they're dropping down in class a little bit with the level of defense they're going to face. That could help. Something to get the offense going, anything. You know, so I'm just looking for reasons to maybe look at why the Bucs can win this game, because the general consensus seems to be, and we should know better by now, anybody who watches the NFL should know this, but this is getting treated like a college football game between like a top 10 team and an FCS team. Like, there's no way the Bucs are going to win. This is, oh, I just gave you the betting numbers. Everybody in Vegas, even with a -3.5 point spread, is all over the Bengals. You can't make that number big enough for some of these people. And that's just not how it works. Bengals have won 5 in a row. Bucks, of course, have lost the last game coming off the game against San Francisco. But I think this one could be a little, I'm hoping. And maybe there is no reason to believe it. And if we're all just sitting here spinning our wheels waiting for these Carolina and Atlanta games the last 2 weeks of the season to see if we can make the playoffs by doing well in those games, hey, if you can't even do anything against somebody who isn't one of these fellow division teams that are mired in mediocrity, then what are we so excited about trying to win those games for to give us a crack at Dallas? If you don't think we can even be on the same field with the Bengals, who are good, mind you, and they are slowly working their way up the standings, and they could be one of the best teams in the AFC by the time we get going for the playoffs here in a few weeks. They may already be. But still, they're not, you know, they're a couple games ahead of the Bucs right now. Everybody cool it. And like I said, their defense has shown some vulnerabilities. So I told myself I wasn't going to be positive anymore this year. I resigned myself to being a fuddy-duddy about this 2022 team. But I can't do it. It's not my nature. So I'm looking for reasons to maybe the Buccaneers can get something going offensively. And, you know, as far as Bowles and Leftwich, that was another thing. I don't know about what the timing means anything, but the story came out this week. Oh, well, Tom Brady, you know, every Saturday night, he goes in and makes his changes to the game plan. No, they don't even know. Leftwich and Bowles don't even know about it. Then everyone's confused the first few series every week because Brady changed all this stuff. And Bowles had to put that, he threw cold water on that, said, no, what do you guys, I don't know what's true and what isn't, okay? All we know is what we see. Obviously, the Bucs' offense is bad. And this was even going on with Arians, too. I mean, remember it was, oh, Brady and Leftwich have their thing. This is back when everything was going great. Brady and Leftwich have their thing, and then Arians comes in on the last couple nights of the week, and then he brings a red pen to the game plan and starts striking through all this stuff. And, oh, there's conflict between Arians and Brady. I remember that, too, remember? And you know, who the hell knows? But I know this much. I will continue to say this until I either pass out or until these people aren't with the organization anymore, whether it's Brady, Leftwich, Bowles, or some combination. Okay? They have to give themselves more time to throw the ball. And when I say give themselves more time, I mean run plays that take a little longer to develop. They have to work the intermediate area of the field. They have to stop lighting first down on fire, and they have to stop trying to get into third and manageable and understand that you can just get first downs without even seeing third down. The best offenses do that. They lament their performance on third down every week. I mean, against San Francisco, third down, they were 4 of 16. And when it was 5 yards or more to go, they were 1 for 10. There is no such thing as third and manageable. Third and two isn't manageable with this offense, okay? So you can't, I still think their mentality is, all right, let's stay ahead of the chains, let's keep the chains at least to where it's third and four or something like that. No, like you don't have to have third downs. You can get first down. Pretend you're playing in the Canadian League. Like that's what they need to do. They need to like hypnotize themselves or psych themselves into believing that the first two downs are where it's at. And stay aggressive. And I know they're worried about, oh, we're going to have three and outs. We throw an incomplete pass on first down, second. What do you have now, you know? But they're going to have to do that. That's the part I don't understand. Like, they've tried it that the other way. They've tried it. And we've been getting the same results over and over and over, okay, against all manner of defenses, not just the toughest ones. So, you know, don't be afraid to, I'm not even saying air it out a little bit, but work those areas in the field where you get chunk plays. Because the quick screen or the deep shot, which is low percentage, it's just too inconsistent. You can't rely on it. And even if you get into these third, whatever the hell this fever dream of third and manageable is, there isn't such a thing, okay? No third down is a good third down with this offense. And, you know, like I said, the protection is what it is. I think it's not that, I think the numbers bear out that it's not that bad. It's certainly not a thing where it's like, oh man, they're handcuffed. They just can't drop back. They can, okay? 2.5 seconds, 2.5 seconds, let a passing play develop. But they come out doing the same exact thing they've been doing over and over already. I mean, you know, I don't know if they think they're going to hold Joe Burrow and everybody to 10 points or something like that, but that's not That hadn't been the way it's been lately. That might have worked. Maybe the worst thing that happened to them, maybe we didn't realize it at the time, maybe the worst thing that happened to them was that Dallas game in the opener. I remember watching that game. This is when we still didn't realize exactly what was going on, what the story of the 2022 Bucks was going to be, what kind of head coach Todd Bowles was going to be. And we just thought it was a continuation of the last two seasons, right? And they won the game. What was it, like 19-3, I think it was, or something like that. They didn't do that much offensively, but we all kind of shrugged at the time and said, oh, you know, well, hey, defense, great job. Offense, they're a little shaky, but they'll find their footing. You know, all the stuff you say after one game when you don't know any better. And that was Dungy ball right there. It's all they've done ever since. And maybe they thought after that game, hey, this is our formula now. You saw what we just went on the road in prime time to a tough place, a good team, the Dallas Cowboys, and we just left them. They're still trying to score from that game, okay? And like I said, maybe Bowles and Leftwich were like, all right, well, sounds good to me. That's who we are now. I mean, you know, a guy like Bowles, a defensive coach like Bowles, you know, that he wants to win that way if he can. And they did, and starting out like that. And maybe that was a bad thing. Maybe that made it apparent to them, even though it's not true, that that was how the 2022 Tampa Bay Buccaneers were going to succeed, because it's been nothing but that ever since. And hopefully, some things get mixed up here starting on Sunday, because the Bucs, for whatever you want to say about them, you know, I always say this, we've got 365 days in a year. There are only 17 of those days where the Tampa Bay Buccaneers play a football game. Every one of them is special. We've only got four left. We are hoping for more, obviously, with the playoff game. But it's always a sad, sad thing, because football doesn't play that many games anyway, where you've got several games to go and you're already checked out. That sucks, right? So if nothing else is good about this season that has not been good so far, we still are in games that matter. And honestly, even if they lose this one and the next one, there's still going to be even more games that matter in weeks 18 and 17. We know that already. We know that right now, no matter what happens. So that's why I fall on the side of, even though I knew I said I wasn't going to care anymore, hey, don't be afraid to be vulnerable, all right? Don't be afraid to get hurt. Don't be that person that always feels like they have to be the first one to say, oh, I knew this team didn't have it, or I knew it was over, or oh, I left early because I was right. Hey, you don't get a prize for that, okay? It's okay to believe. It's okay to get invested and get hurt. What sports wouldn't be any fun any other way. And that Super Bowl they won in 2020 wouldn't have been any fun if they won in 2019, 18, 70, all this year. No, it's fun because you get hurt a lot. And then in between all that, there's those brief moments of euphoria, or I can't believe that happened, or whatever it is. And, you know, yeah, the reasons those things are so good is because you don't expect them. And I don't expect anything out of this team right now. And so maybe, that you know, I'm leaving the door open. There's that little sliver. Maybe they surprise us. Maybe they beat a Bengals team no one thinks they can beat. Maybe they clinch the division early because they win a couple of games and Atlanta and Carolina fall apart. Maybe they win that home playoff game. I don't know. Or maybe they keep scoring 10 points a game for four more weeks and they go quietly with a whimper and the Panthers win the division and we all go get ready for the offseason. Maybe that too, okay? But whatever it is, my point is, I'm here for it. And I hope you're here for it too. In the meantime, Sunday, 4:25. And hey, tickets are still, I'll tell you what, the fans, I know there's probably a lot of Ohio people too, but the fans are still into it. The tickets are a big number. I got a couple friends, one of my buddies is from Cincinnati. He's been wanting to go to this game, but he was waiting, thinking tickets would drop, especially after they didn't play well in San Francisco. And the numbers are still pretty big. I mean, if you're trying to get a ticket to this one, you got to pay a pretty decent number. So people care somewhere. And I love these. We all do, right? These 4 o'clock kickoffs, especially yet this time of year. It's dark by halftime. The weather's going to be nice and cool, but not freezing cold. Should be a nice weekend. I think it's going to be great. Just tailgating, you know, earlier in the day. Those things are always fun, okay? Like, don't let a bad offense get in the way of that stuff. Get together with your buddies for the game Sunday, you know? Get out on the patio. If you're going to the game, even better. Have fun. But whatever it is, like I said, I'm here for it. Four more with an option for a fifth. Let's see what this team can do. In the meantime, hey, if you need a vehicle, whether it's brand new pre-owned, whether it's a car, truck, or van, whatever it is, Bill Curry Ford has you covered. Go to the website first. www.BillCurryFord.com. Remember, Curry is spelled C-U-R-R-I-E, BillCurryFord.com. You can check out all the inventory there, the completely transparent online, no haggle pricing. It's all right there for you. Want to go see it in person? Check out the lot. It's a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. Beautiful showroom, huge lot. Everything is there. And whether you, and if you, by the way, if you want to stay home, they will bring you just a test drive, mind you, not even that, but when you buy it, they'll bring it to your house. So if you want to do it that way, you can. But if you want to go in person, I suggest it. Go check them out a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry, where they've been serving the area for 60 years now. BillCurryFord.com if you're looking for anything in the vehicle realm. With that all said, thank you to the Joes for giving me this platform, the single best place anywhere, TV, internet, radio, for Bucks coverage right here at JoeBucksFan.com. Thanks to our good friends at Bill Curry Ford. Thanks to all of you for listening. Like I told you, man, this is a great sports weekend. World Cup final, if you're into that whole thing. I know not everybody's into soccer. I'm not a big soccer guy, but that's fun. I'm going to watch it. We got three Saturday NFL games to get us going through the weekend. The college football bowls are starting. All right, then the Bucks on Sunday. It's a great football weekend, and we don't have many of those left, so enjoy it. Use it as an excuse to get together with friends. Have fun. Email me if you want to, BobbyGameDay@Yahoo.com, or follow me on Twitter, @BobbyGameDay. That's the free stretch, week 15, wherever you are. Good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks. You won't belong to me, I let you down.